Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, March 27th, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter into action on page 86, the second paragraph. On awakening, let us think, through one paragraph ending, when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Patty S., 12 traditions, Maria F., and then our readers of the text are Susan G. and Tony B., and our backup this morning is Tamara C. The newcomer reader is Rita P., and second hour host is Eileen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 26th, are as follows. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,290, so that's 22290. And then for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,291. 22291. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions, 12 steps. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, this is Patty from Massachusetts. I'm a compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty F. And then now I will ask Maria F. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Lindsay. This is Maria H. in Georgia, and I will read the traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Maria H. How our meeting works. Actions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share. Read. Anyone can share, so we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 86, the second paragraph, On Awakening, Let Us Think, through one paragraph ending, When Our Thinking is Cleared of Wrong Motives. So I will now ask Susan G. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Susan G. from Tennessee. I've covered compulsive overeater. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So, checking my motives prior to reviewing my day is essential. These days, I've been waking up with some fear, and if not acknowledged, I will be self-seeking, choosing actions to make me feel good, irregardless of what my obligations I might have today. As it says here, I ask God, my higher power, to direct my thinking. And quite simply, I file for divorce. I need a complete unbinding and release in my thinking, a freedom from self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking motives. And if it's not going to come, if I'm not going to act from a place of selfishness, then what conditions do I need in my thinking first thing in the morning? For me, it's gratitude, honesty, and a genuine desire to be useful. Then I can really consider what God's agenda or my higher power's purpose for me is this day, and then trust my inner guidance to follow through on my plans. First, gratitude. I've trained myself to wake up and connect to my higher power. My eyes open, I take a big, deep breath and say, thank you. Thank you for my breath. Thank you for my body, my life, my recovery, so on. And thank you for awakening me spiritually to my purpose. My plan is usefulness. And for me, thinking about others and of others helps me be useful. And likewise, being useful helps me think of others, like breathing in and breathing out. This Big Book study meeting is an essential part of my mornings. It helps my thinking be focused. My outreach calls, working with sponsees, sponsors, creative processes I do, helping my family as needed, all of these give me a sense of purpose and actually provide me a, actual demonstration of my usefulness to God and to others. And it helps me stay in recovery and be recovered. Honesty is really the clutch, so to speak, that engages my higher power so I can be useful. As a stone cold food junkie, I'm going to tell you, dishonesty kills my ability to have a loving, abiding connection with God, with you all, with anybody, even with myself. So I remind myself every morning of who I am and who I'm not. I'm a real compulsive overeater. I'm also a precious child of a loving God, or a higher power, if you will. I'm not my own higher power. I didn't give myself breath. I didn't awake myself today. I need this power to fulfill my purpose and to live up to my ideals. And I need help to stay present throughout my day. So from this state of surrender, my thinking is on a higher plane. And my motives are rearranged properly to look at my day ahead. So I love this paragraph. And oh boy, I can't wait to hear what you all have to say about it. Thanks for letting me give service this month. Thanks for letting me share today, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. in Tennessee, for getting us started. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So please give me your first name and the first initial of your last name if you'd like to share. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Christina J.
Christina J.
Christina, gotcha. Who was it, G?
Lori G. in Colorado.
Gotcha. Lori. All right.
Tamara
C. We've
got
Tina, Christina, and Lori and Tamara. All right. Who else?
Nancy R.
Nancy. Anybody else want to get in on this first lineup?
That'll be.
Nicole J.
You gotcha, Nicole. Okay, great. So here's who I heard. I've got Tina S., Christina J., Lori G., Tamara C., Nancy R., Pedro B., and Nicole J. So let's start there. Tina S., please get us started.
Thanks so much for your service, Lindsay. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, wow, what a great lead share. I always think of, I do this basically every morning, on awakening. And I always think, by the time I get to this step, step 11, if I get here, because I've been in the program where I haven't gotten to this step and was back in the food or back in the booze or back in the drugs, whatever program I was in, but it tells me, on awakening. And so by the time I get here, I just know that, in step 10, it tells me that I've been placed in a position of neutrality around my substance, which is a wonderful thing. And that does happen. And so by the time I get to 11, and I'm praying for the knowledge of God's will for me, I'm ready to be somebody different, and it talks about, before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives, and most of the time I'm always about all of that, but by the time I get here, I want something different. And I was always told if I want something different, then I have to do something different. And so I ask God to remove this stuff so that I can be of service, and do his will, and the good news about this is, again, I always say by the time I get here, because I didn't always get here, I am a different person. So, I'm willing to be doing something different. And, in the morning, every morning I ask God, what can I do for the man who is still sick? Please show me, and if I'm open-minded and I'm willing to do it, he shows me every day how I can be of service, how I can be helpful. And this actually, it gives me an opportunity to know my God in a different level and continue to understand, to come to a complete change of my thoughts, to be of service to God and to those about me. And, and I just love this stuff. And then it gets us prepared for the next step. So with that, I'll pass. And I, too, am looking forward to everyone else's share. So thanks.
Thank you, Tina S. in Florida. And then next up is Christina J., followed by Lori G. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. Every day I wake up, most of the days, with fear, or, you know, there's challenges in life. And at night, they seem to all accumulate in my gut, my heart, my head. And I wake up, and I'm off the beam, and I'm remarried to my selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, and fear. And I've discovered recently a great gift of meditation, that is calming the mind and sitting peacefully and breathing in and out of the heart space, which I've talked about before. But I've found a guided meditation that is with a soft voice that's non-intrusive, silence in the background. And it's exquisite because it allows me to sit peacefully. And as the thoughts arise from my fears and all that, I'm able to go back to the breathing, and back and forth it goes. And when I'm able to clear that channel and let those things go and see them for what they are in that meditation, then I'm ready to do God's work. Before that, I am still married to those things, and I can't wish them away. And for me, I cannot pray them away. So God has given me this beautiful thing, this beautiful meditation, in order to clear the channel so that I can go out and be of service to those around me in the way He would have me do and be. Because before that, if I go out, even if I pray and all that, and I write, two-way prayer is wonderful for me as well, but I will go out with my self-motives in the forefront. So I've been wrapped tight in a fiery situation for my job recently, and every morning I go and I release it and I see the truth of the whole situation, and I have compassion for that individual that's giving me stress. The little girl in me wants to beat him up and punch him out, because that's where the wound is, you know. But the woman in me knows, the higher self. And so I clear the channel, and I go out, and I do and be as God would have me do. I can't hear what God would have me do and be as long as those things are in the way. And I've discovered for myself that, yes, food that definitely has been in the way, but the bigger thing that's in the way is my head, my reactions. From the old wounds, from the old projections, from the old self-pity and victimhood that I carried around for years and didn't know what to do with. So this step 11 is crucial. However you do it, it doesn't matter. But I was seeking something that would help me take the crust off so I could go into my heart space without the thoughts pulling me back into the BS in my head. And this meditation has been wonderful. And I hope everyone has a path to bring your mind to the place of not silence, but kind of detachment from the thoughts that just keep going around like a circus. They never end. You know, they never end. But how do we react to them? That's the secret. You know, because they're just going to come and go. They're always going to come and
That's
go.
That's time.
And so I hope this helps someone. God bless everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. in North Carolina. And then next up, we have Lori G. in Colorado, followed by Tamara C. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me share. I have to say I'm very nervous. I don't get to share live very often on this meeting, and I so appreciate this meeting. It has saved my life, you all. So what do I want to say? The phrase, after all, God gave us brains to use, really jumps out at me. As a kid, I always felt like I was not very smart, and like people, my brother, other kids would joke and say that I had no brain, or that I was stupid or whatever. And so I struggle with the right things to say and having a brain, but I don't know, this comforts me that God did give me a brain, and even though it may not be the fastest brain or the most intelligent brain, it's what He gave me, and it works just fine. Not necessarily on my own script. My own brain doesn't follow my own script, but I had I get anxiety when I'm trying to speak, or you know, especially at a meeting, and especially when I think there's, you know, 400 people listening. But I get the freeze, you know, what is it, fight or flight or freeze, and I freeze, and knowing that causes me anxiety. But because of this program, I'm learning to trust God and to just, like, be okay with that. I'm 59 years old and having a lot of memory issues, and God is, I believe, trying to teach me to be okay with that and to trust Him. I mean, when I do writing, like the God, what is it, two-way prayer, I feel like every time I do that, one of the things He says is, trust me. And, and today I have a whole bunch of things that I want to accomplish, and I want to do service for different people, for some friends, excuse me. And I woke up at 4 and my head was just spinning with, oh shoot, I forgot to do that, and I forgot to do this other thing, and how am I going to do all these things today? And it's just funny that this paragraph is perfect. Like, I consider my plans for the day, and I ask God to direct my thinking. Okay, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask God to direct my thinking and my day, and I'm so thankful and honored that I got to speak this morning. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for this meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lori G. in Colorado. And next up, we have Tamara C., followed by Nancy R., and then Pedro B. So good morning, Tamara. Please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C. In Missouri. I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. Yeah, oh my goodness, the shares have been so great. Everyone has just said it all, but it does help me to join the herd and put my voice out there too. And so this paragraph is so helpful to me. It's just full of really, really helpful suggestions. And when I first heard a recovered fellow doing a workshop on this step, she explained one thing she does with it, and I followed that and have found it helpful, which was she recorded her voice reading these paragraphs and then listened to them every morning. And so I did that daily for a long time, and it kind of like really helped get it into my head. So now it happens pretty automatically. And my sponsor has redirected me to this particular paragraph on numerous occasions. And there, like, I really, when I first was listening to it, I could really latch on to this first part about like asking God to direct my thinking. I found a lot of comfort in that. I would pause at each phrase and ask, like, what does that look like? And what's the opposite of that? And what does that look like? What's the opposite of that? And this word divorced, as people have said, you know, we divorce ourselves from something we once loved, something we were married to and attached to. And I was very attached to self-pity. I loved my self-pity. It was like my way of trying to manipulate the universe to feel sorry for me so that it would change my circumstances. And the opposite of that is thank you. Thank you for this reality. And my dishonest and self-seeking motives are kind of wrapped up with each other in this whole lie that I have to plan and control and fix and manage well so that I can arrange my own worth and security. And then just to instead get to lean into God's will and just being a conduit of God's love and strength and way of life. How can I best serve you? What can I do for the one who is still suffering? What a relief to let go of the Tamara show and just be able to think on this higher plane. And then this whole idea, oh, I do have mental faculties. I don't just not think. I get to use the brain God gave me, but there's also a relief there too. There's not this pressure that I have to be smart enough or figure it all out, but it's all a gift. It all comes from my higher power, including the strength to think in a way that will be of service. Thank you. I'll pass there.
Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. And the next up is Nancy R., followed by Pedro B. Good morning, Nancy, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Nancy, a recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. So I'm grateful that my higher power nudged me to share on this chapter this morning. I have been quiet in the background for quite a while on this meeting, and anyway, it was just. I need to, I don't know what I need. God keeps nudging me to get in and be a part of, and so I'm grateful for the willingness to do that today. Step 11, I was, just woke up right before the meeting, and so I dialed into the meeting, and I was starting to have some prayer with God and do the 11th step prayer, and then we were reading about the 11th step prayer, and I, again, felt grateful. I get what I need from this program as long as I'm willing to show up and follow the directions. And I have the directions in the big book, just like I got this morning. A week ago Tuesday, I fell hard on cement. I fell on my right side, and I fell really hard on cement. I had a broken hip. I broke my hip, and I am recovering from complete hip replacement, and it's been quite a whirlwind and quite a shocking experience and humbling experience. And I haven't thought about eating to help with this experience at all, or to escape from this experience at all. And that's a miracle. That's just miraculous. So is my new hip is miraculous. I'm recovering from surgery, and you know, if I just accept what is and let go of my selfishness, self-centeredness, resentment, fear. I find peace and a life full of abundance and love and connection. And so I'm just really grateful for this community, for this program, for this life that I have today because of the solution, and that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy R. in Illinois. And then, Pedro, before you share, I just want to remind everybody where we are in case anyone hopped on a bit later. So we are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 86, the second paragraph, on awakening, let us think. Through one paragraph ending, when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. So we now have Pedro B., followed by Nicole J., and then we'll take some more folks. Good morning, Pedro.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for your service. Yeah, my name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California. I am a compulsive overeater. Grateful to be acting it at the moment. On awakening, it's a very, I used to read this paragraph every day, and, you know, like everything else, I stopped. And that's, you know, this morning I woke up early and realized that the key for me is to continue. to continue doing what got it going. And one of the things I notice is that this is a 24-hour day. So, you know, it's just on awakening, I think about the 24-hour, we consider a plan for the day. Notice that the word thinking came out in this paragraph about, I think, three times. Because that's, you know, as I understand it, is the problem that the disease centers in my thinking. So it, what I'm trying to change here is my thinking. If I continue thinking that I can't enjoy and control my food, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to be able to stay abstinent. And like my friend said, consider a plan for the day. If I'm a compulsive overeater, I need to figure out what am I going to eat today, what time am I going to eat, who am I going to eat with, you know. I have to have a plan and follow the plan, because the key is to follow, right? Rarely have I seen a person fail who thoroughly follow our path. And that's what my disease does not want to do. My disease wants to make its own rules. Right? My sponsor tells me, oh, yeah, well, what happens is that you change the rules. All of a sudden, oh, no, I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to follow this. Right. So anyways, you know, what I do for a plan is, like, I have a sheet of paper and I put 24 hours. And just down the road, and what I do in the morning, first thing in the morning, the first thing I do is prayer and meditation. And then, you know, because I want to be successful in these 24 hours, and I ask my higher power to help me be successful in these 24 hours. Hey, that's all I have is 24 hours. And do the best I can. And okay, so at 4, I'm going to go to a meeting. And at 3, I'm going to eat my lunch. I'm going to go to work. A plan. I need a plan. And then follow that plan. Anyway, plenty out of me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Pedro B. in California. And then Cole J., you're up before we take another lineup. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. This is Nicole. I'm in Virginia, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful. I was sitting here thinking, I'm so grateful to this program for teaching me just how to live. I feel like I just didn't know how to live, how to do the basic things of life. You know, I had a relationship with God. I accepted God into my life when I was very young. I never knew how to have, like, a prayer life. And so when the sponsor, the first vision sponsor, said to me, I want you to pray and meditate every day for 30 minutes, I was so embarrassed to think, I don't know how to do that. I've never done that. I don't have any kind of, no discipline, no self-discipline at all. And then attending a meeting for many years that would read this passage every morning about on awakening, and I still didn't, it never really sunk in. Because I didn't understand that the big book, it's instructions, you know, it's a text. It teaches me. And if I sit with an open mind and I listen to you all and I read it and I pray and I listen to others on the calls, and if I listen to my sponsor and I am open, God will teach me through this text things that I never knew before. And there's a lot I never knew. Like the fact that I need to get up in the morning and think about the 24 hours ahead. Just consider it, you know, and not wrestle it into the shape that I want it to be in, and all my plans, and learning how to write out my action plan after I pray or after I do my nightly review. But the big thing that I really learned was about God, asking God to direct my thinking, because like the last person shared, my disease centers in my mind and not, you know, not just in my body. And so my mind is my problem. My mind makes up stories. My mind gets resentful, you know. So this same mind can't be trusted to plan my day and do a good job of it without a lot of help from God. So only here have I been learning about that. I'm still learning about that, because the first thing to go when I'm not in a good place is that daily prayer and meditation. It's the relationship with God. And I have to, like, it's not, still not natural. It doesn't just happen. I'm still learning. And I need these reminders. I resist repetition and I resist practicing. But that's what they say over and over in the book. I have to do it over and over and over again. And if it gets boring, maybe I can tweak a little, change a little part of it, but I have to keep doing it because my mind needs to be regenerated. And nobody can regenerate my mind except God. And so I'm really thankful for this and learning that my thought life can be on a higher plane. I don't have to just think about my worries and my fears and my resentments. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Nicole J. in Virginia. And now we'll take another lineup. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Michelle M.
Leo.
Donna. Donna M.
Linda W.
I've got Michelle, Janet, and Linda. Who else?
Terry W.
To Terry.
Yes, Terry W.
Gotcha. Gotcha, Terry. Thank you. Anybody else?
Donna M.
Gotcha, Donna. All right. So we can go with this group. Michelle M., Janet M., Linda W., Terry W., and Donna M. So Michelle M., please go ahead and share with us and be sure to let us know where you're calling from. Michelle M., press star 1 to unmute. We can't hear you.
Oh, there I am. Thank you. Michelle M., I am recovered in Oklahoma, compulsive eater. Really thrilled to be on this meeting. And this paragraph really speaks to me about where I am in my practice today. And when I was told, you know, spend time with God in the morning, it was like, I don't have time for this. You know, and where I am today is that if I don't do it, something is missing. And then I'm trying to chase what I'm missing, and it never works out well. So I have been learning from you guys about things that work. And somebody said in this, I think a special edition, when she wakes up, the first thing that she says is, thank you, God. And I thought that, I'm like, that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Well, guess what? I did it. And it shifted the course of my morning. And it got me into a place of gratitude. And so I have been spending about an hour in prayer and meditation lately. And I'm recognizing that, you know, it all boils down to when my brain is not connected with God, I will default to fear. And it's typically fear that is something that is going on in my life. But it's not the fear of doing it. It is the fear of the outcome that I live in. So there's a lot of things that I have to do, but the disease will hijack my brain and I will not do it because I'm afraid of the outcome, when literally the next right thing is just to get more information. So I have been training myself to do that, and it's amazing what happens. And, you know, as I get down to working this more and more, you know, my fear is the asphalt jungle, and that's the playground. You know, Wall Street's got nothing on the playground, because the fear of not being accepted, not being a pretty girl, not being on your Red Rover team will prevent me from moving forward. And so I am so grateful for this practice, because it clears my mind of that I can focus on the truth and I can be open to God's messages. And I can be a servant. And it's a whole new way to live. And it's the changes in my life from it are astonishing. You know, and when I take the food away, you know, approval is my drug of choice. So if I'm seeking that, I'm not seeking God. And if I don't do this prayer meditation practice, I will start binging on negative thinking. And if there's no relief, I'm bulimic. I'm going to purge it all over people. And that's a practice that I'm changing, because that is a food behavior that manifests itself in other ways than just the food.
That's time.
So I am so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle M. from Oklahoma. And then next up, we've got Janet M. and Linda W. Good morning, Janet. Janet, star one to unmute. We're not hearing you. Great. We're going to come back to you, but let's go to Linda W. next. Good morning, Linda. Making sure I can be heard. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Thank you. Linda W., are you there? Okay.
Yes.
Now we'll go on.
Right.
Oh, okay, Linda. Hi. Okay. Hi. Please share with us. Go ahead.
My apologies. I thought I was unmuted. So I am relatively new to the line, grateful, and I just hear so much, you know, the fear, the binging on the emotional stuff, and all of the stuff that would normally take me to the food. And I'm grateful to have a fellowship where I can start my day listening to the truth of what will keep me free from addiction, active addiction, and make me a better human being to live with and of service to the world around me, and just not having to listen to that playback in my head over and over and over, the same old, and the wisdom in the book, just starting my day, asking for God's help to direct my thinking, just great stuff, and stuff I really needed, and just grateful for it. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, Linda W. Could you let us know where you're calling from?
Yes, I'm in Massachusetts. Thank you.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you. All right, let's see. Janet M., are you able to unmute now and share? Great. We'll go on to Terry W., followed by Donna M. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, everyone. This is Terry W. from Massachusetts, recovered, grateful for today. And what really sticks out for me in this paragraph is God gave us brains to use. And this reminds me, I think the first 3 days when I came into this program is, I can't do this program. I will not weigh my food, and I cannot put down the food. I cannot. And it says right here in black and white, God gave us brains to use. So we have the given ability to use our brain, or we have the decision to block our sunlight, the spirit, to the channel to God and just block it. But we are capable of being divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. It says right here. So it's a matter of us just clearing the channels and my connection to develop my conscious contact with God. And I remember also when I first came in, I was told, all I have to do is my 2% and God can do the rest. But we're told we do have the brains to use, and we do have the choice. And I think a lot about it has to do with willingness. Some of our literature talks about, you know, all we need is a key and the decision to put the key in the door and swing it open. And there's only one key, and it's called willingness. And once we open that door just slightly, you know, there's God. All we have to do is just be willing. So we do have the brains to use. And this really reminds me, too, about we have to start at step one. You know, we cannot get to step 11 until we do every single one of the steps. And this book is an instruction manual. It's not a story. And, you know, this is what the gift is after we go through all these steps and get to step 12 and live a life, you know, continuing in a daily basis to live these steps. So I'm just grateful that God did give me a brain to use and that I can be aware that it does take willingness and a connection to God. So thank you for letting me share. And I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
Thank you, Terry W. in Massachusetts. And then Donna M., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada, and grateful to have heard the shares today. What this passage reminds me of is a time many years ago when I was out of program, and I thought that I could practice this program by myself, and that if I equipped myself with the practice of looking at my cognitive distortions, that would prevent me from picking up. And, you know, every time I tried to practice that, it never worked. And because I had no power, and I needed the power of the spiritual experience. And I see the part that said, ask God to direct our thinking. So when I was out and in the food, you know, I could see that I was jumping to conclusions, but I was totally unable to change, wanting life to go my way, wanting validation. I had to put down the food first, because as long as I was getting an effect from the food, I would be totally blocked. And in order to do that, I needed the support of the fellowship. So I needed to be in the program to go through the steps and then live in the steps. And today I'm grateful to be in recovery. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna N. in Ontario, Canada. And we can now take a few more folks. We have time for at least three more shares. So who else would like to share this morning?
Well, good morning.
Harlan G.
Janice P.M. Yep.
Harlan G.
Harlan, gotcha, Janice. And then there was somebody I missed. Deborah? Gotcha. All right. So we've got Harlan, Janice, and Deborah. So Harlan, please go ahead and share with us.
Thanks, Lindsay. Would you do me a favor? I'm out walking, and there are cars, so if you could give me an ungentle reminder at 3 minutes, I'd appreciate it. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. And every morning of my life, for years, decades of my life, I filled my heart with venom. I would wake up in the morning, they're not going to treat me that way. If only he would do this, if only she would say that. The next time he says that to me, I'm going to say this is. No wonder I ate my head off. No wonder I ate cookies and cakes and candies to the point of complete absurdity. Because every morning of my life, I would demand that not only God, but the entire world would stick to my script and do my bidding. And I would tell God, and I would tell anyone that would listen about all the people who wronged me and how the world would be better off if they would only listen to me. Of course I ate. Of course food became the solution to my problem. Because the problem was the discomfort. The problem was the buildup of emotion. The problem was how I felt when I was not eating. And I was going to get even with those people. And then I see on awakening, I consider the 24 hours ahead. And I'm going to bring God into the equation. I'm going to bring love and tolerance of all into the equation. I'm going to bring self-acceptance and the acceptance of the world into the equation. I'm going to bring factors into the equation that I had never considered before. And I am going to understand that when God is in charge, I am going to have a life beyond my wildest dreams. But it's so hard for me to trust that at first because I absolutely know better than God. I really don't. I absolutely know better than God that if this person would do this and that person would do that, then everything would be okay. And it never was. There were times people stuck to my script. It still wasn't good enough. It still wasn't good enough. And in God's world, I have abundance. In God's world, I have love. In God's world, when I start my day this way, and I do, then I don't have to feel that way. And I don't have to eat that way. And I don't have to live that way. Thanks, Lindsay, for your service. And thank you for everybody who made this meeting possible. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Harlan G. in Arizona. And then next up is Janice P.M., followed by Deborah S. Good morning, Janice.
And a special good morning to you and everyone that's here and everyone that's shared. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm from Massachusetts. I live in Massachusetts. And I have to begin by saying, yes, today and a lot of 24 hours, I am a grateful compulsive overeater recovered. And that doesn't mean I'm grateful for this disease, but on the other hand, I am grateful for this disease, because if I didn't have this disease, I would never think that I would have a divine influence in my life. It was always about me, myself, and I. Always negative, always never free from the food, never free from my mind, my thinking, my stinking thinking. It wasn't so much my eating, but my mind needed help. And the only one that I have found that can change my mind is a divine influence. Now, how do I connect with that divine influence? Well, I can remember many decades ago here in Massachusetts, we used to get up and say, hi, I'm a compulsive overeater. When we're ready to end our share, we would say, and I have to do the drill. I do the drill every morning. You know, when you're in the military, you get up early and you do a drill to get prepared for the day. Well, I used to get up and be so negative, and then, of course, brush my teeth, do whatever I had to do, think about the negative part of my day. Well, today, in many days, it is just so different. I get up, and I have a grateful gratitude list. I have to, because in my mind, I was always negative. I was always a martyr. I was always trying to people please, which is dishonest, and you know, I didn't preview my day. You know, on awakening, it's a preview of my day. So this is my drill. The first thing I do is go through my grateful list, freedom from so many things. I'm not going to bore you with them. But, and to ask, now I'm going to pray. First, I happen to bless myself in the morning. And then I say, thank you, God, blah, 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 that I'm alive at 83 years old. I'm grateful that I'm in this program. My disease brought me to this program, and this program brought me to God, whom, you know, to a higher power. So this is who I pray to. I ask my higher power to change my thinking. This is my drill. Just like we have to have a drill in the military, get up early and get ready to feed my soul, not my body. Before, I used to get up and say to my son, get the donuts, get the donuts. Yes, okay, thank you so much. And but I have a drill today, and I ask for indecision and to get rid of some of my thinking. And it works. It really works. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
You sit. And then Deborah S., we have time for a one-minute share, if you'd like to take that. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Deborah S. in New Jersey, recovered compulsive overeater, and grateful to be here and that I get to do this every single morning on this awakening every day. You know, honestly, I'd wake up in the morning in the disease. You know, who thought? I just did. I acted on self-will-run riot. I mean, no thinking was ever involved. And thank God, getting recovered, we're able to use the brains that we use. I think those brains were so rusted up because they were so full of just my my self-will and doing what I wanted and stepping on everybody's toes, that I just didn't care about other people. I just did what I just, you know, like a train just roaring through, you know, a tornado roaring through, and then, you know, and then wondering, like, how did I get there? Because I was just so full of what I wanted and not caring what anyone else, you know, concerns with other people. And, you know, today I have a different, I live a different way. Oh, I didn't know it was 2 minutes. Okay. Thank you so much and have a great day, everybody. God bless you.
Thank you, Deborah S. from New Jersey. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, March 27th, is 22,293. That's 22293. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tony B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.